Yes, as you could hear there, the Swans were fantastic once again. Errol Goulden, brilliant. But there were a handful of Swans that were absolutely magnificent against Essendon, who put up a brave fight. Around three quarters, they were a level pegging, but the Swans too good late. So one sporting update I haven't given this morning is the Valspar Championship there in Florida. It's a fantastic tournament, a copperhead each and every year. And Mackenzie Hughes currently leads the way, 10 under through 10. Leading from Phillips Young, a couple of Americans there, one from China, and Malnati as well. So currently at 10 under, we've got fourth place down to eight, so it's pretty tight there. We're about to welcome Adam Pengilly. Before we do, one thing I don't think I've done enough this morning. I pinch it on this show, Loz.
Yeah.
Jared Hoss, and you guys have your usual sticks, and I'm sure he does pick your brain on certain topics, but because I do have hit-and-run missions, it means I can egg you on maybe more than he's allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like you've given us your full, honest opinion when it comes to the obstruction ruling in the Manly game the other day. And we've seen texts coming through. They're saying, stop sitting on the fence, Loz. What are you up to? Give us an opinion.
Well, I'm not sitting on the fence because I've said that the rule is correct. That's how they've adjudicated.
Correctly applied. You're happy with the decision.
Well, no, I'm not, because I don't think there was common sense applied. But
not so common.
But what we've seen adjudicated all year has been, if you run and you stop in the line and a defender is impeded, you're in all sorts if someone goes through that space that you were intending to get to. Now, he dropped off yesterday, Moretti, I thought, for sure. He was never going to stop Tom Trbojevic. But, unfortunately, the fact that Jake was in the road and he denied him the opportunity to close down that space, and Tom went through that space, it was always going to be pulled back.
But this is why our listeners are saying you're sitting on the fence. You're saying the rule is there, black and white, clear as day, correctly applied.
Yeah.
But then you're saying, where was the common sense?
Well, that's the rule. That's the rule, so you're not going to change it. So we can sit here
and
argue.
Mm.
Well, yeah, but then what you'll do, you'll go back to the common sense rule applies, and we won't have people thinking the same way. Because there'll be too much grey.
God forbid this concept. But if it was a little greyer, the rule, and you allowed referees to read the game, to have a feel for the game, to say,
well, the best referees
hey, there actually
always
was an
have
obstruction.
A feel for the game. Yep. The best referees always have a feel for the game. You know why we get good State of Origin games and good grand finals? You know what happens? They put the whistle away. And they will argue that the best players adhere to the rules better, but I think in those big games you're not being as nitpicking as what you do in a regular club game.
True, but if it got sent to the bunker,
but that happened in an Origin or a grand final, they would rule the same way.
If it got sent to the bunker,
yeah,
absolutely,
most definitely. If it didn't get sent to the bunker, but every try is now looked at.
But my concern is that you shouldn't have obstruction if no one's disadvantaged. So somewhere we've got a
well, he was disadvantaged.
No, he wasn't.
Well, they're just,
well he was disadvantaged with the way that the rule is written.
Yes, correct.
He stopped in the line.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, he stopped in
the
line.
You're not allowed to stop in the line. If you stop in the line and you don't make contact with someone coming across, it's play on.
Yes.
But as soon as the defender makes contact with the attacking player who stops in the line,
so the
all tickets
saying
are off.
I appreciate that, but there was no disadvantage because he was never going to chase.
But
he was never going
that's
to.
The point.
That's the common sense what we're asking for that isn't so common. Because the black and white rule is, did he stop in the line?
Once you stop
and
in the line, you're gone.
Did he impede the defender? Yes, he did. Even though I think everyone believes
he was never going
he
to
he wasn't going to get there whether Jake was there or not.
Well, it's going to be an arm tackle. That's what it would have been.
It promotes staging.
If he touched him.
Yeah.
He was cooked. He was fatigued. He was out on his feet. Jake saved him falling over, if anything.
But people are being critical of him. It promotes staging. This rule promote staging.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but that's what every player does now. They know players are not dumb. They know the rule. You see, as soon as he touches Jake and they score, his hands are in the air straight away.
If you're an edge defender, either four in or three in, and they run a block shape run, which is a lead runner and someone swinging out the back, and you make a misread, all of a sudden you're trying to establish yourself to make contact with that lead runner on his inside shoulder and look as though you're trying to get across.
And
to
definitely fall over if you can.
Most definitely. So mate, it's been there for a number of years now. So we all know that at certain stages, players play for it.
Mate, smart play as the defender. Like, smart play. He, the defender knows in that situation he's not going to be able to make the tackle, so what's my plan B?
B.
Mate, definitely take a penalty.
Yep.
Adam, I thought I'd just wind him up a little bit before you joined us. It's great to have you on the show, as always. I mean, we'll go through a few discussion points, not just in rugby league, but in racing as well. But quickly, your take on it.
Morning, Ben. Morning, boys. I 100% concur with Loz. To the letter of the law, they adjudicated that right, but I do not agree with the decision. It just comes back to the game of rugby league. We want it to be black and white. Sometimes there are shades of grey. There is no way in hell that Luca Moretti is making that tackle on Tom Trbojevic there yesterday. He was never, ever going to get there. But as the rule stands, the bunker probably made the decision they thought was correct. But as fans, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Because you get so disillusioned. Like, if you're not in a position to make the tackle, then I think the obstruction rule should be taken off the table, right? You have to be in some sort of position to make the tackle. 100%. He was not in a position to make the tackle there yesterday. So, yeah, I thought it had a pretty significant bearing on the game. I don't want to take anything away from Parramatta, so I thought they were great yesterday. But you can certainly say that decision probably changed the course of the game in the second half there.
Hey, I probably wouldn't normally have started there, Adam, because you had quite the performance on the weekend. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but earlier on this morning, Loz took all credit for the multi. Not 10%, not 20, not 80, not 99. All credit for the multi. So just talk me through how it played out and what role Loz played in your selections for the multi.
Well, first of all, Loz, how was golf on Friday? Because when you should have been coming and pitching up the multi, we heard you're on the golf course.
Yeah, I was on the golf course.
How'd you hit it?
I actually hit them all right. It was, you guys know the Ambrose, where you play a shot each, and yeah, our team
play the best
really
ball.
Well. Yeah, yeah. So I was up there at the Hunter Valley, Westpac helicopter rescue, fundraiser for them. Really good day, but no, we hit them well. Bit of rain around though, in the morning though. Bit of rain around, so it affected the swing at times.
Well,
couldn't get the right grip.
Oh,
chipped and putted all right.
Oh dear.
I was going to say, Loz, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much were you death riding that multi on Saturday?
No, I didn't death ride it at all because there's no I in team, and I support the people on this panel. And when I spoke to Middo on Friday, and I said, mate, or Thursday night, I should say, and I said, mate, you've got to put this horse in to run a top four. It's a special. He agreed with me. So I didn't know what you were putting in the multi, but then I saw the $10 and I thought, this thing's just going to bolt in.
Adam, I'm not here too often, so I can tell the truth. He word for word said earlier, I was death riding that multi all weekend. Word for word. And just on that front, were you critical of Middo in terms of the Gambare push?
No, not at all. Not at all. I thought he did his form and he found a horse was going to settle on speed in a race where there wasn't a whole lot of speed and probably looking for 2,000 metres, Gambare. I've got to say, Benny, I have never more eagerly anticipated or watched a photo finish for fourth in my life than what I did on Saturday. Halfway down the straight, I thought, he's going to run fifth here. And then he just found enough to lift himself over the line to run fourth in a photo. So, yeah, Middo and I exchanged a few text messages on Saturday afternoon. We were quite chuffed for the listeners to get a multi home.
But he talked to me about the Titans. They lose Tino now for the season. Loz reckons they're favourites now for the Wooden Spoon.
Oh, they have to be, Clarky, don't they? Surely. He is such an important player to them, and to lose him for the rest of the year, not only just the Titans, but for Queensland.
Do you reckon it affects... Loz said that this morning. He thinks that'll have massive effect on Queensland.
Oh, huge, Clarky. He's the type of guy who's probably going to play 55, 60 minutes in an Origin game, just getting through so much work in the middle of the park. He's almost their standover man and enforcer as well, and to lose him for the entire Origin series is going to be a massive blow for the Maroons. Having said that, I know we're still a long way out from the Origin series. We've got some concerns ourselves with Payne Arce out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So he's going to be a bit short of a gallop in the weeks leading up to Origin selection too. So, yeah, I don't know where the Titans go, Clarky. They've been the most disappointing team, well, apart from Souths, obviously, hands down in the first few rounds of the season. Again, another pretty insipid performance there at Belmore against the Bulldogs. Deji's got a lot of work in store for him. He's got his work cut out. I know they need to get Jaden Campbell and David Fafita back in the action, but I just don't know if this halves combination, Loz, is working with with Tanner Boyd. They had another pretty torrid afternoon there at Belmore on the weekend, and they look like they're really lucky in a couple of players in some really key positions.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. They were massive disappointments on the weekend, and as you said, losing Tino will affect not only the Titans but Queensland. And when you look at Queensland, some of the players have already lost for the season. With Tom Gilbert out, Tino, they would have been two players that Billy would have had in his ideal 17. So there's two players that have got to replace straight away. There's some doubt on Joe Arrow as well with his shoulder. So they're starting to lose troops. But getting back to the Titans, yeah, I expected a lot more. And I expected a bit of resilience with their defence. But the opening two games, they've leaked points. And for me, that's the concerning thing. Their inability to score, but also the inability to stop other teams scoring. So that is a worry going forward. And they've got a tough game against the Dolphins this weekend. But flip side of the coin, the Bulldogs, I thought they were impressive. I thought they were very, very good. And that was off the back of two games where they were competing and trying really hard. But I think that was the victory that they needed to give them confidence.
You can just start to see they're building an identity, can't you, Lois? Like with what Cameron Serrato's doing. And I know some people were a little bit disappointed with their first two performances against Parramatta and the Sharks, but I think you could tell that their defence had really sharpened up over the course of the off-season. He'd been working on that overtime. They were entitled to concede a lot more points against Parramatta and the Sharks than what they did in those two games, given the possession and the flow of those matches. So I thought they did well to keep both teams to the 20s. And then you saw there on the weekend, once they had a bit of momentum, they were a really hard team to stop. And I kept going back to that left side. Like, if you got that left side with Burton, Kickout, Crichton, Humming on that left side, they're going to pose some teams some problems. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this game on Good Friday, Loz. I know it's only Monday at the moment, but South under enormous pressure at the moment, playing against the Bulldogs team, is just starting to find their groove with a little bit of confidence after a good win on the weekend. I reckon it's going to be an absolute cracker at Accor Stadium on Friday.
What's been the wash-up since that game on Friday? Obviously, there's talk about the coach, Jason Demetriou. Is this speculation, or is there some truth to the fact that we're now starting to see stories come out about he's got the next three games, and if he doesn't win at least one of those games, then he could be out of a job.
Yeah, they've got three games coming up against the Lodz, against the Bulldogs, the Sharks and the Warriors in the next 3 weeks, and they've got a bye. So you'd imagine after six rounds, they'll probably take stock with a week off, with a bye, and have a look at things and see how things are progressing. But no doubt, there's enormous pressure on him at the moment, just given the way they finished last year and their really poor start to the season. I don't know if you guys caught his press conference on Friday night after the game. I thought he spoke really well with a lot of clarity. And he said, it's on me to turn it around. I'm confident we can do it. But he also was happy to show some vulnerability and say, this is probably the lowest point of my career right now at the moment. But he's got a side with a lot of experienced players. They just need to find something, Loz. I just thought that once the Roosters got on a bit of a roll there on Friday night, there's not enough resilience to turn the game around. Like, I just don't know who they're turning to dig them out of a hole. Poor Cam Murray. You can see he's trying his absolute backside off in the middle of the park. I don't know what you think, but I sometimes worry about his longevity in the game, Loz, the amount of work he gets through. And he's not a big guy. He's not a huge guy. Mm. And you can just see it's taken a toll on him at the moment.
Yeah, I do, but then I had the same concerns about Jake Trbojevic at certain stages throughout his career, thinking, geez, this bloke just gets through too much work, plays 80 minutes, and he's going to wear himself out. But
in Origin, we reckon he was underplayed.
Yeah. But he sort of found a way to keep going. So I think some of our athletes are remarkable in terms of the way, even if they're battered and bruised, they just find a way to keep going. Yeah. But that's something that Cam and South will have to manage going forward. But that's where I think it all starts from South. You can point the finger at a lot of people, but I think it starts in their engine room. I think that's where they have to be better. They've got to be tighter around the middle. They've got to be more aggressive with their line speed. They've got to be better connection in defence, but just be more direct in terms of hitting their targets and stopping the opposition carrying the ball and getting momentum. Otherwise, if the ruck gets blown apart, you get found out in all places. And then when you're getting the ball, you're getting it back on your line, you're fatigued. And it's never been South's strength, their back five, carrying the ball out of trouble. It's never been their strength.
No. And I don't know what you thought, Loz. I thought the move to have Cookie start from the bench didn't work at all on Friday night. No. They were on the back foot from the opening minutes, and by the time he got into the game, I think they were down 12-0 already. And I was out there at Allianz Stadium a little bit early before the main game and saw Lachlan Ilias play in New South Wales Cup. He just looks a class above that level, New South Wales Cup on Friday night. So whether Jason Demetrio makes the call to, I suppose, swallow his pride a little bit and have Ilias stuck in the NRL squad at the expense of Dean Hawkins after just one game, I don't know if that's the answer or not, but clearly he just looked a little bit too good for New South Wales Cup on the weekend.
What about the Tigers, mate? Well, more important, look, Tigers obviously a good win, but what about the Sharks? Where do you see them?
Yeah, they were a bit disappointing on Saturday night, Clarkie, there with the Sharks, and they've got some serious injury concerns coming out of that game. Toby Rudolph has suffered a syndesmosis injury. I'm not quite sure if he's going to need surgery. The word last night was that he might be able to heal without surgery, but he's going to be looking at least probably 4 to 6 weeks out. So that's a pretty significant blow for them in the engine room. Dale Finucane copped that pretty nasty head gash, which I'd imagine he might be on, might be in some sort of doubt for their clash this week. And obviously, did you guys see Royce Hunt be ruled out of the game after injuring himself in the warm-up? He didn't even get on the field.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, but it was... He was on the bench, wasn't he? And then warmed up. Yeah.
Yep.
And they weren't able to activate their 18th man, were they?
No. Because he hurt himself in the warm-up up and down the sideline after the game had already started.
Should that be something we need to look at as well?
Well, maybe. I don't know, Loz, but how often does it happen, really? Let's be honest. Like, it's quite strange to have something like that happen. I just thought the Tigers just out-enthused the Sharks there on Saturday night. They was a little bit hungrier. They were great around the middle. And Appy Corris here, like, he is a fantastic player, Loz. His deception and that one pass he delivered, I think it was the Safehart's try, which is phenomenal. He's looking out the back he's got his halves in the back line and just completely bamboozled the Sharks defenders with his eyes. He is a magnificent player. So good signs for Benji, good signs for the Tigers. I was happy for their fans because they deserve a bit of success and they've got to keep it going now.
You won't be surprised to hear that Lance from Point Frederick says hello with a bit of his favourite thing this morning is morning Pingilly. So good to have you listening, Lance. And he's a big, big fan. Golden Slipper went to Lady of Camelot. Via Sestina was fantastic in the Rambit and now looks favourite for one of our richest races here in Sydney across the autumn. Riff Rocket in the Guineas. What a day's racing we had.
Fantastic, Ben. Magnificent days racing at Rose Hill Gardens. I love the five group ones. Well, first of all, just on the Golden Slipper, I think most people thought Gay and Adrian probably win the Golden Slipper, maybe not with Lady of Camelot. And you could just see with Storm Boy, he just made a bit of a mess at the start. And once you draw those inside gates and you want to settle on speed and you're not quick away, it just opens up a whole myriad of problems if horses cross you. And once that happens, he was never going to be in the correct spot or the spot he wanted to be in to try and win that race. But great ride by Blake Shin. I know that Lady of Camelot was held up for a little bit in the straight there. And if you're watching it, you're thinking, oh, geez, I don't know if she's going to get out here, but once she did, she exploded. And that form coming through the Blue Diamond this year seemed to be the A-plus form. I know Hayasugi, the filly that won that race, finished tailed off last there. But some of the other horses behind her ran really well in Lady of Camelot and Coleman. Just quickly on Via Sestina, Ben. How often do we see it? Like, the horses that come from Europe over 2,000 metres plus, they just have panels on our local horses. Like, there's no other way to describe it. And I think they bet $3.80 about her on Saturday morning. She trimmed up significantly to start favourite there by the time they got to jump time. And there was a lot of smart punters knew what they were doing there. She is just a class above with that Group 1 European form. Can't wait to see her go around in the Queensland Stakes because she's going to be a serious, serious horse and extremely hard to beat.
No, I think the majority of the live chances in that race will have been born overseas. That appears to be the case on paper anyway. Imperatrix in the William Reid. We won't go into great detail, mate, because I need to let you go. But I reckon she's just a length or two below her best, but still good enough to beat up that lot in the William Reid.
Completely agree. I don't think she's quite at her absolute best this preparation, but Moonee Valley's her sweet spot, isn't it? Like, once she gets to those Group 1 races, they probably don't have the depth into the fields at Moonee Valley. She's always going to be extremely hard to beat. But what about the horse, Ben, just quickly, that ran runner-up, Johnny Rocker?
Oh, $10 a place.
He came out of a benchmark 78 last start. If it was a handicap race, Imperatrix would have been giving him 22 kilos. 22 kilos on his rating, and he's ran it to less than a length. It's a phenomenal performance by that horse, but I don't want to take anything away from Imperatrix. 10 Group 1 wins. What a phenomenal horse.
It is actually the second horse that makes me really question how good she's going. But that said, you're right. There was actually a gap back to third. It was an enormous run from Johnny. Enjoy the week. I'm sure the team will chat to you throughout the course of it. But what a day it was on Saturday. Good to have you on.
Hey, boys.
Ben Way alongside Laurie Daly and Michael Clark, recapping what was an enormous weekend and looking forward to plenty of sport coming your way via tab.com.au if you're keen to have a bet. Fantastic weekend of rugby league. The Parramatta Eels moved to 6 on the NRL ladder with a 28-24 win against the Manly Seagulls. A little bit of controversy there that I think we've touched on enough throughout the course of the morning. The Titans skipper, well, it's sad to see him sidelined for the remainder of the 2024 season, having ruptured an ACL against the Bulldogs in round 3. That was probably the toughest story, I reckon, across the weekend, because that does take away a lot, as the guys mentioned, not just from the Titans season, but also from Queensland. Senior Broncos players have reportedly approached Kevin Walters in a bid to encourage the club to sign Tevita Pangai Jr. So stories on that front. In the AFL world, plenty of results to go through. GWS, they put their Perth hoodoo behind them. 65-point winners against West Coast, who offered little again. Port Adelaide were very good. Todd Marshall kicked 4, 122-92 against Richmond at the MCG. The Western Bulldogs were too good for the Gold Coast Suns, 115-67. And there was a story out of the Sydney-Essendon game that involved forward Peter Wright, who's been sent straight to the AFL tribunal and could be facing a month on the sidelines for his hit on Harry Cunningham. I did mention earlier, I think it probably could have been dealt with by the MRP as opposed to going to the AFL tribunal. To my eye, players are a great guide on field. If they respond immediately, it means something untoward has probably happened. And they certainly did immediately react to that, the Swans. And it was a game with a little bit of spite. That said, I reckon 2 would probably be enough for Peter Wright. And for full disclosure, I get along well with Harry Cunningham. I know him well. And it was horrible to see a mate lying prone on the ground. No one wants to see that. But we need room for accidental collisions in all our footy codes. And I think that was verging on one. So I'd be happy with 2 games. Now that it's gone to the tribunal, we're probably looking at 4. In the F1, Carlos Sainz Jr. won the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. Max Verstappen retired. Hamilton the same. Oscar Piastri, the Aussie, finished just outside the podium in 4th. We had a Hail Mary winner from Jack McVay in the basketball in the NBL. So that championship series, they now lead 2-1. But that was a huge win there against Melbourne United away. And in cricket, Western Australia secured another Shield title. So they just go from strength to strength. So that's all of it. I see Sven from Greenpoint has got involved in my weather reporting skills. And Sven, that's not a specialty that I hang my hat on. So I hope I've done it justice, but I probably haven't. We've got lots of texts coming through. Plenty in regards to the Manly incident. Plenty of heroes and villains. And I know we've got loads of phone calls. Just recapping your hero and villain, Clarkie?
I went Jack Jumpers and Tigers for my two heroes.
The Tigers were elite.
Leichhardt. Brilliant. Leichhardt, brilliant.
Heaving.
Yes, as always. It always is. It's just the facilities. That's the only reason Leichhardt's spoken about. But in regards to where it's situated, the consistency of fans, the support for the team, there's nowhere better for the Tigers. It's unbelievable.
Loz, facilities are second rate. There's no denying that there. But would you like to see a rugby league future without Leichhardt Oval?
Oh, no, I like Leichhardt, yeah. But I think it needs a bit of work done. I think Bulldog writes in the paper today, $55 you're paying to get on the hill. $55, it's a lot to go and sit on a hill in today's environment. I think it certainly needs a lot of work, and you know there are lineups to go to the toilet, lineups to get a beer, lineup to get a food, something to eat. I don't know whether that's a good experience for people going, but to see the amount of people there on the hill packed,
they keep showing up.
It's a great atmosphere, but I think it certainly needs a lot of work. And suburban grounds, yes, I like them, but I'd like to see us aspire to have more than 16,000 people at a footy game too. I'd love to see everyone with a stadium of 25,000 plus. Like CommBank Stadium is a fantastic place to watch football from. Allianz the same. And when you get a decent crowd in there, geez, it creates a great atmosphere. Like like yesterday, that Manly Parramatta game. Yes, I thought there might have been more people there. Should have been more people for the quality of game and the rivalry that exists between the two clubs. But still, you get the sense that there's noise, atmosphere at the ground. It comes through the television. Mm-hmm. That's what I like.
And facilities are first class.
Yeah.
Robert from Lidcombe, I have seen your texts come through. So the first of them said, congratulations on your Crows win on the weekend. And I thought he was taking the mickey. But he's just texted through again about an hour later saying, sorry, Ben, I thought the Crows won. I got it wrong. It was Port Adelaide that won. Sorry about that. Wow. Now, Rob, you're the only person I know, because being from South Australia, no one mistakes the Crows for Port Adelaide. It's very much one foot or in one camp or one foot in the other. But
well, a lot of Travis Boak too. 350.
Absolutely. 350. What a feat.
350 games, yeah.
Yep, 350 games. And he had so many former players there as well, which was brilliant to see. They were all getting around him. He's one of the all-time nice guys, Travis Boak. Even as a Crows supporter, he's almost impossible not to cheer for.
I wouldn't have a clue about him, but when you're playing 350 games in any competition, that's a lot. And for him to do it in the AFL in, you know, this day and age too, where there's a, you know, plenty of heat on every player to hold his form and hold his position for such a long period of time, I think that's to be celebrated and congratulated. So well done to him.
Just on Sven's text before I get to the calls, he suggested that, like Mido, I didn't put enough vigour into the weather report. You guys would give me an accurate appraisal. I need to lift, don't I, on the weather?
Look, I think I've released my judgment on weather. I don't think anybody likes to read the weather. So, mate, the fact you're doing it, I praise you.
See, it's the first thing we do in the morning.
Yes,
so I haven't really...
Exactly right.
You know, I haven't I haven't seen you guys typically at that point.
Yeah. Maybe we're taking for granted our weather as well in Sydney.
And the job that Mido typically does.
Well, no, Mido's... Mido,
is he ho-hum too?
He's Harvey. Okay. He's Harvey Norman.
He started out quite excited when they told him
he did. Yeah, he had a grand plan.
He had a grand plan to go to some random places.
All
and
different
get the
towns
weather.
Around
He thought he was the next Sam Max.
Yes.
Yeah. But that lasted about a week when he ran out of places to go to. He'd come in here and he'd go, oh, what town can I pick today? And he couldn't do it. He became hard.
One of those things, it was good in theory. Yeah. But as you say, at 5:30 in the morning, don't go asking us a question like that. What town can I get?
Yeah, we're going to warm up.
He pitches himself as this country boy that loves getting back to the clean air. I've never heard a bigger lie in my life. Lives there up near Freshie, just having the time of his life. Talks about Joey's every 5 seconds.
Middo's a bit like me. We like getting back to the land.
And me. Liverpool's back to the land.
Adelaide's getting back to the land too. Hey, let's get to Chris-O. We need a hero and villain. Chris-O.
Morning, boys. Happy Monday to you.
Same to you, Chris-O.
Hero. It has to be Carlos Sainz. Especially after having attended crowd a couple of weeks earlier, just to be able to get in that car and drive it like he is. I know the other guys fell over in front of him, but you've got to be in the position to take advantage. So, good on him. Yes, for that, honorary mention to the Parramatta Eels for kicking again yesterday. Bill, I don't really have one, but to all the Manly fans out there that are making noise,
Chris O, thank you for your call. Chippy, I can't wait to hear your hero and villain.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. I'll get the villain out of the way. My Sharkies. But, mate, all credit to your class and your Tigers played well.
Yeah, they did, mate.
You got a villain for us?
Yep, got you, mate. Who's your hero?
So my hero is a good mate of mine. It's not something that's going to get a lot of media attention at the moment, but he's just been over in Egypt qualifying for the Olympics in the freestyle wrestling, 86 kilo division. Wow. And, mate, he's been battling a long time to get to this point, and, mate, he made the final and he's going to the Olympics, mate.
So, what's his name, Chibi?
His name's Jaden Lawrence. He won the bronze medal. I'm not sure if you're familiar at the last Commonwealth Games, and he ruptured his ACL while doing it.
Yeah, right.
He's a champion, mate. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, I became mates with him through his son and my son, you know, the extreme premature babies. And, you know, our sons are in the NICU for 4 months and just become close mates ever since. And, yeah, mate, it's just been, you know, started off trying to work and wrestle at the same time. But, you know, as he's progressed, he's, you know, doing a lot of coaching with guys like Taito Vasa and Rob Whitaker and stuff. But, yeah, mate, he's just, yeah, he's made it and everyone's so proud of him.
Well, I don't know much about wrestling. So is there divisions, weight divisions in wrestling?
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
So what division is he in?
Yeah, so he's in the weight class 86 kilos freestyle wrestling. And, it doesn't work like, you know, he's probably the number one ranked Australian wrestler, but you still have to qualify. So he has to go over to Egypt and, you know, face a lot of the Middle East and some of the African nations, and they're very strong. And, he made the final, mate, and I was up at 2 o'clock this morning cheering him on, and it's just so exciting.
Oh, you're a great mate.
Chippy, if possible, even if it's not on this call, if you call back, we'd love to get his details, because I'm sure Mido and the boys would love to have a chat to him on the Big Sports Brekkie going forward.
100%, mate. Yeah, seriously. Gets like lands back in Australia, I'll mention it to him, and he, mate, 100% he'll talk to you guys, mate. He's just an absolute Aussie champion, mate. We're so proud of him.
Love it. Thanks, Chippy. Enjoy your day, and thanks for the call. Lee, your hero and villain?
18 degrees. I think it's going to be a top of 28, so it's going to be a beauty day today.
See, that's the positivity
that's
we
good.
Need.
That's good.
Are you happy to be paid nothing to do the weather regularly?
If you pay me $20 a week in coffees, I'll do it. I'll phone it in.
Jeez, but you've got to be doing it about 5:30 in the morning, though, Lee. That's all.
Oh, easy, mate. I'm usually on Friday.
Just getting in.
Oh, beautiful.
It sounds like a lovely offer, but the boss is already shaking his head. So don't hold it against us, Lee. Who's your hero and villain?
Hero, guys. Bree Walker. I believe that was her first win in the single female bobsleigh on the weekend in the final World Cup event.
Who was that again, Lee? Sorry?
Bree Walker.
Bree Walker, righty, huh?
Yeah. Bobsleigh Bree, I think her Instagram is. But yeah, she came first in a dual event with her teammate. They came top five. So they've been consistently going well, and as well Bree. So tracking well for the next Winter Olympics.
Oh, good on her.
So this is the monobob?
So the single-person bob and the mono bob, I believe it's the second one, the two-person.
There you go. Have you heard that term before?
No, I haven't.
Neither had I. They need to make a movie out of that. Jamaica any good at the mono bob?
Yeah, I think they're slightly better, but nah, let's be honest, no good.
Hey, you got a villain?
Yeah, this is a double villain. F1 race control, not calling a red flag when George Russell is pleading with it on the radio. Like, you got a car in the middle of the track, upside 45 degrees facing the other way. He's calling out for red flag, and you're like, nah, let's just go yellow. Let's just risk it.
Yeah.
So I think that was poor form. And then going back to Thursday night, Tyler Mayne, I think, look, I play footy with, you know, I understand a head clash, rugby collisions, but in the end, he was tracking him. He made the decision to go for a big, higher hit, and he got it wrong. And that was the result. So I think in that instance, you got to look at how he led up to that hit. And I think he had time to get in the right position and make the tackle. He chose to go high. It wasn't like it suddenly, oh, he's coming at me. He tracked him, went in for that hit, and he got it wrong.
All right. Thanks very much. Anything you can add further if you need?
Oh, no. I just want to think Roz's opinion on that one.
Yeah, Lee, I'm in the other camp. I think that he was coming out of the line to obviously stop Reece Walsh. I don't think there was any intent there to injure Reece Walsh. I understand Kevy's frustration with losing his player for 4 to 6 weeks, but I think it was more an accidental head clash than any intent. Yes, you've got to protect the player's head, but I also think we are going to continue to have accidents in the game because it's a collision sport. But there's a lot of people that think like you, Lee, and there's a lot that think like me as well. But I give him the benefit of the doubt with that style of tackle.
Hey, Dino from Hidden Valley's just texted in. He wanted to clarify the name of the wrestler Chippy mentioned. You wrote it down, Loz?
Yep, Jaden Lawrence.
So that's the one we're keeping an eye on. Dino from Hidden Valley, certainly keen to follow at the Olympics like us. Wayne, we need to be quick, but a hero and villain from you.
Very quick, mate. I'm going to be the hero because on your program last week, I tipped Lady of Camelot.
Ah, well
and
done.
And the villain is my daughter and my wife. My daughter for telling my wife that I backed the winner and my wife for keeping the money.
Okay. When a win is not a win.
Oh, Wayne. 100%.
Well done, though.
Better That's than... we're going to be smarter, Wayne.
Yeah. This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Laurie Daly, Michael Clark, and Ben Way. We've got plenty to discuss. It was a fantastic weekend of racing. Five Group 1s there at Rose Hill. A bumper crowd out on track. And, yes, one in particular may not have got the beard that he desired, but I can assure you the vast majority had a fantastic time out there. And well done to the entire team out at Rose Hill. Clarkie, you actually got a hero mention.
What do you mean?
Which is lovely. On the text line. Hero pup for backing up from a long trip and copping so much crap from Mido and Daly.
I haven't even started yet.
I don't even... I can imagine what was
said. I haven't
said.
Even asked.
I was imagine what was said. Mm. But I know, particularly with these two blokes, they know me very well. So as much stick as they've given me when I haven't been here, if it was true, I would have been fronted by now. Mm. So they know the truth. Mm. They know me.
And I would pup knows me well enough now to know that once he's away, I start to play.
Oh,
so I'll hemorrhage.
Yeah.
It's like Mido. If he's not here, I'll hemorrhage.
Yes.
Like when you leave tomorrow or Wednesday, I'll just be into you.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all.
All's fair. Inside exactly this studio, you have to be able to cop it because don't worry, we all give it.
I'm sure when I'm not here.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes.
You just have to leave the room.
Yeah, that's good, but I love it. Yeah. I love that.
But just to clarify, so you came back for one day.
I got back Thursday. I got in Thursday afternoon.
You're on Friday.
I did Friday.
2 days off.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
Now, I'm back today.
Now 4 days on.
Yes.
And how many off?
And then I wouldn't call them off. I fly to India for the IPL.
Oh, another trip.
On Friday.
Wow.
For more work.
You sound jealous.
And let me tell you, the junket that you think it is, I've been to Pakistan and to India. Mm. Not Vegas, not LA, not Europe.
And you do a great job.
I'm working.
I'm not joining their team. I'm just clarifying the schedule for our listeners. That's all. And speaking of junkets, doesn't this lady love one? Ali Mosley, Sky Racing presenter. The additional workload I have to carry while this chick goes over to Royal Ascot every year and pretends to work. My Lord. Golden slipper, eh, Mosley? How good was it?
I knew that was going to be a mean lead-in this morning, Ben.
He's in one of those moods, Al.
Oh, I can feel that. My goodness. He needs some breakfast, Ben. He's hungry.
Ali's good enough. She knows me well enough to know I'm always in a mood like this.
Just put the boot into him, Al, anyway, because that's what we're about to do. Tell me about the Golden Slipper. Stormboy finished third, and it was a great performance from Lady of Camelot and obviously the Adrian Bott Gay Waterhouse too.
Mm, the money was spot on, wasn't it? She was backed early in the week, although I think, and Ben would know this better than me because he has access to the holds, but I think in terms of money, she had about less than 10% of it. So I know a few people had big bets on her, but she was super. She deserved it. I think she came out and trialled at Hawkesbury, which we saw, and there was a question mark over whether a Hawkesbury trial was, you know, up to it. But she did it easily, and she's a very tough filly, and you really need to be in that stable to stand up, and that's exactly what she's done. I think Take Nothing Away from Stormboy, though, well documented that he was away tardy, so then he had to duck back to what appeared to be the worst part of the track late in the day when he couldn't get a run, so he got kind of roused along early stages. He'll push on now to the sires, and I think that'll suit him to the ground. I can't see why we shouldn't still be able to follow him once he stepped out to 1,400, and he really looks a horse now, to be fair, that looks as though he's ready to get to that 14-mile trip. So he'll certainly be one to follow out of it. I think Lady of Camelot, they'll see whether they push on with her. And then Manal, I think we've really got to follow Manal out of that. And had she drawn a gate, I think she would have been right up in there. There were some ones to forget, probably Switzerland, I thought, was a little bit flat. He seemed as though James put a couple on him at the time, and then he just looked a little bit flat in the run, so we'll see what comes out of that. Haydasugi, we all saw what happened there, and Jamie Carr was lucky to stay aboard. So some exciting ones to follow, but I don't think let's jump off Stormboy yet.
I don't know if you're aware, but Loz was brilliant in formulating his multi, which did deliver the goods. Via Sestina was a crucial part of that. And I think it's fair to say the Europeans, they're just better than us over a trip.
Yes, absolutely. And I know it was well documented in one of our races too that we only had one Australian representative in Think It Over. So Via Sestina was an expensive purchase, as was Plastic Carousel, who's another interesting one to follow there. There was a bit of a bidding war on her at Arcana between the big dogs with Yulong and Coolmore, and they were all on her. So they've certainly paid enough for them, but Via Sestina looks the one to follow. Certainly progressive. She did it easily, I think. You know, we may be seeing a very handy horse and one that could be the future of the best horse in Australia when she won the Randwick so dominantly. She was well covering all of them. Another one I want to mention, and Ben, you'll know how much I love this horse, is Chaowulf. I thought he was great. Riff Rocket obviously had his measure there, but I can't wait to see him once he gets out to a Derby trip. He'll have some pretty hot contenders to come up against, but he's obviously ticking along well as he gets out further into the prep.
I was cheering against him.
You're cheering against
him? Yeah, I bet you were. Yeah, I know you would have been.
Ali was invested for Black Bookers. So.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's as good as a win for me.
You're so nasty, Ben.
He is. See, he's death riding you now, Al. I've got to make mention of it. William Haggis, he must be just a genius to be able to identify horses to come to Australia and just go bang first up and get them to win. He's got an amazing strike rate.
Oh, doesn't he? And interesting as well, I've had a chat to some of the guys from his team in the past when they've come out and they've said to win big races in Australia, you know, perhaps not a Randwick, but to that extent still, you know, our big prize money races can set the stable up for the year compared to the prize money that they get over there. So if they can travel out a horse here, they know that it's, you know, top tier and doesn't really even necessarily need to be right up top tier. They can get the job done and it pays for a lot of the bills for the whole year because our prize money here is so much stronger than theirs.
Put some horses in the bin for me.
In the bin or in the black book?
Either or. Let's do both.
In the bin, that's not how we do things here, Ben. My goodness.
Well, we need to take some out if we're putting some in. You know how the black book works.
Which show are we on? Via Sestina's got to go in there. She just couldn't have been any more impressive. She ran the best last 600 of the day and the second best last 200 of the day. So the figures stack up for her. I thought maybe Blanc de Blanc was a bit of a hit and run. She stumbled out of the gates, which a few did. I'm sure you guys have touched on this as well, but King's State of Osmosis is still beyond me. But she stumbled out of the gates and raced back and wide in the race where most of the action came from those up close on the pace. She's a good filly, and I think she showed signs on the weekend that she's getting to her best form. But, yeah, just on that, it was a bit of a mixed bag for the girls too. I know Jamie was lucky to stay aboard Hayasugi and Rach. Oh, my goodness. She was right up in the air. She said she was just lucky that she was able to just get her heel back in one of the irons on the bend. So she literally, until she got to the bend, was racing with her feet out of the irons. Wow, we know how good she is, but she's a serious horsewoman, Rach.
And we also saw how quickly things can go awry as well in the last with Karen. I gave an update a little bit earlier on in the morning, but we'll endeavour to do so again at such later. The good news is that we should see him back. We just won't see him back for the autumn. We were all fearing the worst. Ali, these guys don't work Fridays, apparently, when it's a long weekend, so you won't be on Friday's show. I think you're going to feature on Thursday, and I'll see you at 7 p.m. on STC for Black Bookers Thursday as well. But we'll chat later in the week.
I'll do Thursday, and I want to make mention too, I'm not sure if they listen to this show, but Tin Tookie's owners, who sadly passed away in that fall, were all there in the mounting yard when I was leaving, and they were all really, really upset. And I know that everyone talks about horse racing and how much it affects us and how much we love the horses. And I do really wish that people who don't understand racing and how much we love our animals would have seen that, because they were so affected by it. And my thoughts go out to them. She was a really special mare. Everyone at Bradwood at Stable loved her. And I really send them my best wishes, because it was a torrid day for them. And it shows how much we just love our horses.
Very well said, Ali. Chat soon.
Thanks, guys.